sure that there were more than four downs run. So they may have run five downs.
Instead of the game being over, it appears that the Redskins get the fifth down.
And the cat is elusive.
He's walking.
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. Fielding the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Snap, placement, kicked by Hartley, and it is.
And we are live. Welcome everybody to the overtime. Oh. Week 18. Playoffs are upon us. Time for some predictions. Time for some talking about coaches and Black Monday and some other fun stuff. Kevin, kick us off.
All right, guys. So we're going to go ahead and start with our predictions for the, you know, basically be our Super Bowl predictions. We're not going to go level by level in the playoffs because there's no sense in that if we're just going to end up getting here anyway, right? So Super Bowl predictions. I actually sticking with the number one seeds here. I have Green Bay and Tennessee, and I actually think, you know, Green Bay is going to make it this year, and I think you're going to end up with them winning the Super Bowl this year. And Aaron Rodgers riding off in the sunset right on out of Green Bay.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and throw some out ones there. I'm going to two teams who haven't been in there in quite a while. I'm going to go with Dallas out of the NFC, and I'm going to take Cincy out of the AFC, and I'm going to give Dallas the win.
Okay, I really hope your prediction's wrong because I don't think I can live in a world where the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. Okay, I can't deal with their fans. It's not the team. I just can't deal with their fans.
The fans actually have something to be excited about this year, and it's actually something like for the first time in a long time, their team is actually good enough. You know, like this is definitely the first time in the post-Romo era they've been a Super Bowl contender, legitimately.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I'm going to tell you a few deficiencies they have, right? I mean, they tend to rely on Dak out the backfield when Tony Pollard's more of the better option for him. I'm still sticking with that word on Dak Prescott. I mean, not Dak, I'm sorry. With Zeke, I'm still sticking with that word on Zeke. Is, you know, Zeke out the backfield instead of Tony Pollard, and I think Zeke is still that bust. Not seeing enough production out of him for what he should be doing.
Yeah,
to me I don't think it's that.
I think it's just been their health on the receiving core coming into it. But I mean, defensively, I think they've got a strong enough unit to carry them to the Super Bowl. They have two of the best defensive players in the league right now. You know, you can say what you want about Trayvon Diggs, but he still leads the league in interceptions.
Okay, he does.
And how many interceptions did we win our Super Bowl with?
Yeah, he does lead the league in interceptions, but none of them are against Aaron Rodgers, and who also leads the league in not throwing interceptions. But he's gonna throw at Trevon Diggs because it's feast or famine with him. He's either gonna intercept it or he's gonna give up a long play. So if that's how it falls and they make it to the championship game, or even if they have to play each other, when they do play each other, that's how I see Green Bay coming out on top of them.
Yeah, and look, okay, so let's see. The number one seed is on the bye, so we've got, let's see, how would this work out?
Yeah, we gave our picks last week on this, and I honestly really don't remember because it was so late after that game with the Chargers where Anthony Lynn, that's the head coach, or that was last year's head coach. Who it is this year?
I can't think of it right now. Yeah, but yeah, you got Cincy, New England, Daly, and Kansas City, and I had Dallas, yeah, Tampa, and Arizona.
Yeah.
So that's just round one.
Oh, that was round one. Okay. I'm like, I didn't even pick Tennessee.
Because they're number one seed.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's where we fall. The other predictions we have, I feel like we both fall pretty close on these when we start talking about it. But, I'm feeling like the MVP is going to end up being Tom Brady.
I can't argue with either one of them. Like, you know, Rodgers is there. Brady, I think he may have a stronger case because his team without him wouldn't be where they are. So,
yeah, but I think the whole, but for me, where it falls on it, and the reason I'm saying Tom Brady's going to win when it should be Aaron Rodgers is that Aaron, with the whole COVID thing, is going to put a stank on his name this year. And there's already writers talking about, well, I'm not voting for him because he lied about his COVID
status. Yeah, and he like crushed him. I love his response. It was beautiful. You know,
the reality of it is, we talked about this before in an episode of the OT before. He didn't technically lie. They asked him if he was immunized, and he just agreed yes, which he was. They didn't ask him particularly what disease, even though he knows what they were talking about, but he chose to, you know, they asked him an open-ended question, and all he did was just give an answer to that question and didn't give any more info that wasn't asked, right? But yes, that's probably going to keep him out of winning the MVP.
I hope not, because that would just be silly. I mean, I'd rather just have can we just have like an honest player debate without all the bullshit? Like, is that possible now? Or have we moved past it? Have we moved past that?
No, we're past that now. It's going to be the woke crowd and whatever is going to make this decision. You know, oh, because he lied about his status. You know, he's going to be there. And plus, I mean, as of this point in time, Tom Brady hasn't caught COVID yet. So they're going to use that, you know. So, like I said, that's why I think he's going to be there. When in the reality of it is, it should be a wide receiver for the first time. And that's going to be your offensive player of the year, right?
I think Cooper Kupp. You could also, but since it's going to be rookie of the year, you know, you could argue Jamar Chase.
But I mean, even on the defensive end,
Jonathan Taylor, I only think he's not going to get it because his team didn't get into the playoffs.
That last game against Jacksonville, but he was just bad all the way around.
It was just bad. The whole Colts story blew the coach out of the water for coach of the year, blew him out of the playoffs. It ruined the offensive player of the year for Jonathan Taylor. And like comeback player of the year with Carson Wentz. You know, like you had a lot riding on that last game, and they just blew it. Yeah. And you can't fix that. Like, I can't fix that. You can't go back and fix a game. Jacksonville?
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, that puts so much stank on you. It's not even funny. But defensive player of the year, I got T.J. Watt.
I think so, too. I don't. There's some other people on that list, too. You know, Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald and Stephon Diggs and all that. But
we don't need to see Aaron Donald win it again.
No, okay, he doesn't deserve it this year. I think T.J. Watt has been more dominant than any other player on defense in what he does.
Yeah. 2 years in a row. He probably should have won it last year, but they ended up giving it back to Aaron Donald.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, they had that better over, like, their defense was putting up much better overall numbers last year, too.
Yeah.
But I mean, TJ Watt, just like, he took the sacks and all this other stuff. Like, it just.
Here's the problem I have with it. It's an individual player award, right? So it shouldn't really matter what the rest of your team does or what the rest of your defense does. If you're coming out and you're doing what T.J. Watt has done the past two seasons, this should be his award this year. No questions asked. And it shouldn't even be close in the voting.
Yeah, no. But I think it's let me see. 17 games.
I mean, he broke his brother's record. Right, most sacks in a season. I understand we had an extra game, but you can't put that asterisk on it because, you know, he was close to doing it the week before, you know, in there. And the only reason Pittsburgh is even in the playoffs is because of their defense. So,
you know, this is your home.
That defense is leading team to the playoffs. And, you know, T.J. Watt is a leader on that defense, and it should be him.
Yeah, and there's no question that his play by itself has put them into the playoffs, right? The defense, right, I mean, the defense play, specifically the pass rush for the
sack,
Steelers.
The sack fumbles, the disruptions on it. I mean, that's what's kept them in these games.
And for anybody other than him to get it. You know, Myles Garrett's put up some great numbers too this year. You know, he wasn't strong, but I just don't see it. TJ Watt has been on that next level all year.
Yeah.
Defensive rookie, Micah Parsons, no question for me. He was in the running for both, I think. But
I mean, they're not going to give it to him because he's a rookie, because he's going to win rookie of the year. You know, so they're gonna not give it to him on that. I don't think there's not another defensive rookie that is even close, other than his teammate Trayvon Diggs. And like I said, his biggest issue is the feast and famine thing.
But I mean, look now, you have those two guys, two rookies, right, in the conversation for both defensive and defensive rookie of the year.
Right,
that's a strong statement for your defense.
It is. But I mean, you have those two guys, and then what everybody else does, they're still giving up a ton of points. There's, you know, so I mean, as a defense as a whole, you know, so like I said, Micah Parsons can only do what Micah Parsons can do with the pass rush. But if the quarterback gets the ball off and Trayvon Diggs either intercepts it or it goes for 40-yard gain, you know, you don't know.
Yeah. I mean, look, Dan Quinn, when he's done with that defense, it's turned the corner. Yeah. It's turned the corner.
Well, but that's not going to be long lived either, because he's in the talks for getting one of the seven jobs that's open
up
that we're going to talk about in a few minutes here. But offensive player of the year, I mean, offensive rookie of the year,
Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
I would still say Joe Burrow should be up there too in the MVP conversation.
Joe Burrow to me should win comeback player of the year. We didn't write this down.
Yeah, I would say comeback player of the year for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, coming back from his knee to doing what he did. I mean, he's out there throwing crazy, and he has the perfect person for him, you know, teaming up in college and bringing it back into the NFL. It just shows you why LSU was able to win that national championship, and the same thing on you know, why they're in the playoffs this year is because those two have such a connection that they're able to pull those things together.
Yeah, and it's just been a treat to watch, right, all year. That team offensively has just been fun. They've been fun to watch again. And
yeah, I mean, I checked them out every chance I could. So,
you know, it's just it's great. Let's see, what else do we need to cover?
Coaches. Once again, that falls to the Bengals. I mean, that has to be Zach Taylor.
It has to be.
After everything said and done.
Or Bill Belichick. I'm still not off Bill Belichick being coach of the year.
I am. I mean, he's been there. He's done that. You know, he did turn that team around from where they were last year, but I think a lot of that was just getting rid of Cam Newton and moving on with the Mac Jones era.
Yeah.
You know, that – Just doing that move right there.
But no, I agree that Zach Taylor is probably the best. The best one there, because there just hasn't been anybody who's, you know, everyone else that I would have nominated eliminated themselves in the playoffs.
Yeah, and even with the eliminations in the playoffs, you know, I can still make an argument for what Sean Payton did.
And you could also
that he did, bringing his team to 9-8, still coming out with a winning record, still being, you know, one bad overtime play away from winning the Super Bowl. I mean, from going into the playoffs. I'm sorry. You know, with that defense being the way it was, knowing what he had, relying on it, there's an argument for Sean Payton. But
I would have said Mike Vrabel too, because losing Derrick Henry
and you know, Vrabel could be in the talks for this. But like I said, Tennessee has since Derrick Henry got there, they've been perennial playoff shots. Mm-hmm. And
but to get by without that guy who they got it back now for the Super Bowl push. So,
yeah, there's still an argument for those three guys, and that's another reason why I have them, in my eyes, projected to go to the Super Bowl, is because of Derrick Henry.
Well, I'll say Zach Taylor for me is why the Bengals are going Joe Burrow, right? They figured it out. They've got that connection. Yeah. And I think that that's it. So, again, Mike Vrabel and Zach Taylor, I think, are both. I like Sean Payton. And, you know, it's a good pick for him this year. But, again, he's been here. He's done that. You know, it's just a question of, to me, like, you know, coach of the year, it's the biggest turnaround, but you also kind of gotta have a winning season. You gotta get there. I feel like it's always gone to a coach who's made the playoffs. I could be wrong.
That's rightful. So I mean, you know, that's how it should be. I'm not mad at that. Like I said, though, there is an argument for him.
Yeah, you could also argue Mike McCarthy because he did so well despite his bad play calling and clock management issues.
Well, his clock management will never let him win the coach of the year.
He's about to lose the offensive coordinator. Let's jump into this because this is important. But
yeah, if Mike McCarthy doesn't fix his clock management, he's going to end up on this list that we're about to talk about. So we're all familiar with Black Monday in the NFL. That's you know, Monday after the season's over, we get a long list of firings, coaches, GMs all headed out the door.
Yep.
So this year we started a little early. You know, we started with Gruden resigning.
And
then Urban Meyer being fired a few weeks back.
Well, you can't count the Gruden because Gruden wouldn't have been fired. They were doing spectacularly with him there.
Yeah, but
and they exactly, went they went they went what? 3-6 after he left. But
with what went down, he was going to be fired, so he resigned. So we knew about those two. And, you know, so I'm just going to run down the list real quick. Vikings fired Mike Zimmer and their GM, Rick Spielman.
Yep.
Bears took out Matt Nagy and their GM, Ryan Pace. He just completely left. Got fired. Vic Fangio out of Denver.
Yep.
Got the axe. And then the two biggest surprises for me, I'm going to start with Joe Judge with the Giants. And what surprised me is that they took an extra day to actually fire him instead of doing it right on the buzzer on Monday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't even on my radar for coaches ever going to get fired because I didn't even think about it. But
they actually lined up in goal line. Deep offense when they were 3rd and 9 on their own, like 10-yard line, you know, and ran two consecutive quarterback sneaks. I mean, I don't know if he was trying to get fired, but it worked, you know. And then the last one, and probably the most shocking and everything
this,
else.
This
was,
one, and we'll get to this. Was and, it, yeah. Go.
And this was Brian Flores from the Dolphins. Just finished out with a winning record. Just missed the playoffs because of other teams not doing their thing. Same thing with the Saints.
Yep.
And two winning seasons in a row. And got the axe. So.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know why they did it. There's some people out there, you know, in Twitter land and whatnot, saying it's, oh, because he's a black coach, that's why he got fired.
No.
I disagree with that.
If anything, he got fired for just not getting better than last year, right?
I think he more got fired because he outwardly spoke out against Tua being there. He was not a fan of Tua from the start.
You got to remember, they passed on Justin Herbert to get Tua.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they played Fitzpatrick last year. And he had to basically be taken out for, you know, bad knees and whatnot before, you know, Tua even took over. And then even then, when Fitzpatrick came, if Tua was having a bad game, he threw Fitzpatrick back in.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was not – him and the GM just didn't get along. And he was vocal about that. He said his thing. And that's why I believe he got the axe. Because, I mean, if I talk out to my boss
Well, the GM won the inside politics battle. Jason Whitlock wrote a really good piece about it because it was just all inside. You know, it was the GM versus the head coach, and whoever could convince the owner the other one had to go was going to get fired. So, and it looks like the GM there won. So I wouldn't read too much into that any other than I think Whitlock's got the right take on this.
Well, I mean, the racial thing came from a Twitter that I've seen with Black Adam Schefter. You know, he posted that out and said that that's what that was.
I personally think that Brian Flores is going to be a head coach. I think he's going to Denver. I think he's going to go to Denver.
It's possible, but I mean, you got a lot.
Or to Jacksonville to really give him the finger. Like that would just be.
And if he could turn that team around, then anybody can say what they want to say. I mean, he deserves what he needs to be. But you know, that brings us to our next favorite segment, right?
Wait, did we get everybody?
Yeah, that was everybody.
Raiders, Dolphins, Giants, Jags, Denver, Bears, Matt Nagy, and Ryan Pace. We talked about that.
Yeah, we said everybody.
Yeah, we did. Okay, good.
Potential hire, and on top of that list is Brian Flores. Just got released by the Dolphins. He is going to be a head coach somewhere this season.
Oh yeah.
He has done too much with the Dolphins to get there.
I mean, I think his best fits are the Bears, Denver, or the Jags.
Yeah, I think the Bears have already reached out to him to come in for a interview. I mean, the next top prospect on that list will be Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't want to be in Michigan anymore and wants to make another trip into the NFL.
I don't know why, but I've just never been impressed with him at Michigan. I always thought, like, coming back, he would have been a dominant coach, but he could never beat Michigan State. He just constantly fell short of expectations. And I was just like, does he just not want to coach anymore and just thinks he can coast in college? Is he a better pro coach than a college coach?
He was successful in the NFL. I mean, he took the 49ers
to the Super Bowl.
You know, and came a couple plays away from winning it. So
after the power went out for 2 hours and saved that football game.
It was more like 30 minutes. But he saved the football game. He's on top of the list.
It was a blowout.
He's on top of the list. He's on top of the list to head into Miami. Is probably where he's going to end up at. The GM of Miami is an alumni at Michigan.
Yeah.
And
the connection's there. Buildings
named after him, and there's a connection. So it's possible Harbaugh ends up in Miami. I mean, your other major potential hires is, once again, we're going to say Eric Bieniemy one more time. For those out there not listening, you know.
Him and Byron Leftwich, both.
Yeah, and then like I said with Dallas, they're gonna be scalped. I mean, you're looking at Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn. You know, that's a big possibility. He's been reached out to have a few interviews from the Saints. We're looking at probably losing our assistant GM Jeff Ireland, probably headed out the door. And if it's not this year, it'll be next year. But Dennis Allen's probably going to be tapped at some point to be a head coach in the very near future. So
now I know Byron Leftwich out there in Tampa Bay has also been talked about as a head coach, and I think it would be nice to give him a shot. Like I think him in Chicago makes a lot of sense. That's the right environment for him.
See, I think he would. I mean, I don't know if you typed out Doug Peterson, by the way, on your notes.
He had his chance. We'll see. No, I just don't know Doug Peterson if he's gonna come back and get back in the NFL and get back in the saddle. But he was reached out to by the Vikings, which is.
Yeah, and I mean, I could see Byron Leftwich actually being a really good fit in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook. And
I mean, there's so many.
To have there,
any of these guys, you know, could move around to any of these teams, and I think make a positive
Yeah, the only one I'm not too sure on that you have here is Vance Joseph. He just did this in Denver. Was not very impressive.
Yeah, that's the reporting on who they reached out to is just why I put that there. So
yeah, I just don't see that as a landing spot for anyone to go with Vance Joseph just yet. He's probably going to stick in Arizona, work with that defense a few more years before he gets his second chance, or just stay a defensive coordinator for the rest of his life. I don't have a whole lot after that. So I mean,
well, look, Jacksonville's put out feelers to Peterson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Caldwell, the former Colts and Lions coach, Kellen Moore, Leftwich, Todd Bowles as well. He actually interviewed, Caldwell interviewed, Byron Leftwich interviewed, all at Jacksonville. Okay. Denver, let's see who are they reporting here. Pats linebacker coach Jared Mayo, Cowboys Dan Quinn, Packers Nathaniel Hackett, their OC, Cowboys mm-hmm. Kellen Moore, Chiefs Eric Bieniemy, Eagles Rams OC Kevin O'Connell, Packers QB coach, passing game coordinator Luke Getsy, and then Lions DC. Yeah. the Vikings, they have it. They haven't reached out to anybody formally yet. The Bears, they've reached out to Leslie Frazier from the Bills, as well as Brian Dabble out there, Doug Peterson, Bucks, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles. You know, all these names are kind of floating around everywhere. But I think that of all these guys, the people who are going to kind of get their choice, I think it's going to be Kellen Moore, Brian Flores, Byron Leftwich, and Eric Bieniemy are kind of going to have their pick.
I think Dan Quinn too. I mean,
and Dan Quinn, you gotta credit him. We gave him crap because he played us so much, right? But
he was a Falcons head coach.
He was a Falcons head coach.
Give him crap, but he's, I mean, he not got a bad Matt head Ryan coach. MVP. He took them to the Super Bowl. Yes, 28-3. We're gonna say it.
Yep.
You know, and he was never the same in Atlanta after that, right? So he had that blowout loss. I say blowout loss. I mean, the game went to OT, but I mean, when you drop that 25-point lead, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know, and he was never able to live that down in Atlanta. So what he's done in Dallas as a defensive coordinator is what he's always done. Atlanta always had a pretty decent defense while he was there. So I mean, if you're looking for a defensive minded head coach, he's probably your guy.
Yeah. I definitely agree. And I mean, you need to fix that defense. The defense has just been
And I mean, one that hasn't happened yet that's still on the table that may end up at some point in time, I still think that Seattle.
You know? I don't know if they move on from Carroll. I think the thing with Carroll is whatever happens with Russell Wilson and how all that goes down.
Yeah, but that's going to have to play out fast. Because, I mean, if they lose Russell Wilson and then they fire Pete Carroll 3 months down the line, then they're too late.
Okay.
You know?
But here's the question is... Yeah. If you fire Pete Carroll this year, is the chance that you're going to find a better head coach better this year or next year? Considering all the vacancies,
I'm looking at a list right now, and there's a lot of guys on this list that I would be happy with. Maybe not over Pete Carroll because of what he's done in the past.
Yeah.
But you know, Bobby Hebert likes to throw this out, and it's a good little quote. What have you done for me lately?
Pete Carroll hasn't done anything for Seattle lately. Nothing.
You know, it's 2 years not making the playoffs in a row. Defense decimated by retirement. You know, heading out the door. They haven't done anything to close out that offensive line to keep Russell Wilson happy. Now, I don't see them getting rid of Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. So if Russell Wilson is going to be that trade away, then Pete Carroll is going to stick around. But if they're going to end up keeping Russell Wilson, I don't see Pete Carroll sticking.
I don't. You know, here's another one too. Is
I don't know, Jason. I think they almost feel like that relationship's done. I mean, there's been so much talk about it. You know, and they always come out and they say, oh, that, you know, they're going to stick around and do whatever. But I really feel like that relationship's done. I don't know if there's any more repairing in that. Cause I mean, how long can Russell Wilson keep running for his life? Right. So, I mean, that's just,
but that's a, do you know, how do you parlay Russell Wilson out? Because if you fire Pete Carroll, then Russell Wilson stays. Then Russell Wilson gets a bigger contract. Or are you better off keeping Pete Carroll, making a big show of it, and then getting a great deal for Russell Wilson?
I think, like I said, I think the relationship's done, and they're going to have to, if they stick with Pete, which, like I said, it's possible he has another year. I don't disagree with that take on it. But... I mean, you go after a first rounder and a big name player, right? And the Saints might have that. You know, there's all this talk about it. You know, Mike Thomas and first rounder or second rounder headed out to Seattle might bring Russell Wilson here, but then that leaves the Saints once again even more deficient in the passing game. So,
well, that's why I think if you were to trade a player like that, you get DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson. Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
Somebody he's got a rapport with.
I mean, but then what's left in Seattle? I mean, I don't think that trade makes a good deal for Seattle at that point. So
yeah, it's gonna have to come with multiple first round picks.
Yeah. So I mean that's
I just think like and look, there's a couple of coaches out there that I expected like Arthur Smith, Matt Rhule. I know they've only had like roughly a year each, you know.
Matt Rhule starts the season on the hot seat.
Matt Rhule to me was the one that was like, ooh, I hadn't seen him yet.
Yeah, he's fired everybody else he can that he can blame, right? He fired Joe Brady at the beginning of the season, you know, midway through the season. They just fired like three other coordinators today. I don't know their names, but you know, there's no one left to blame. I mean, so he's going to bring in some new coordinators, and if they still do nothing, then
I mean, he's going to be fired midseason. He's going to be fired midseason.
Yeah.
If they end up like 0-8 or some shit, he's gone.
Well, they'll probably stick with him. I mean, they did the same with Ron Rivera, you know, made him through the season and then let him go right after. But yeah, Pete Carroll, I mean, not Pete Carroll, I'm sorry. Matt Rhule, Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
You know, they all start off on the hot seat.
Now, let's talk about coaches. Boom. Let's talk about a couple of coaches that have been interim, okay? Or at least we'll see what happens. Like, first of all, David Culley in Houston. You know, like, he was handed a hot mess.
He was the head coach.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was first year. But he's got he comes into a mess. Like a bomb, right? And then Houston finishes the way they did. You know, I think he doesn't start the year on the hot seat. I think he's in a as good or better position than Dan Campbell or
yeah, but it doesn't take him long Robert to end Saleh. Up there.
No, you're right.
So
you're right.
If we start off losing four in a row, he's right back on top, right back on that hot seat, you know, ready to hit the door. So yeah, he's gonna have a very short lease this year, with the Texans. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Now, in Las Vegas, okay.
Right.
Rich Bisaccia. How does it say it? Bisaccia.
However,
I think it's Bisaccia.
I don't think they retain him.
I mean, if he wins you one or two playoff games, do you give him a shot next year?
They're not going to win one. They're not going to win a playoff game.
You don't think they get past the first round?
No.
It's the Bengals. Yeah, they're going to lose.
No. I mean, you picked the Bengals.
I got the Bengals going to the freaking Super Bowl. But no, I think they got in and they drew the worst matchup. Because this is going to be a shootout. This is going to be a shootout. And I would say John Gruden would have a chance of beating the Bengals.
Well, I think John Gruden's Raiders end up at a different seed, you know, instead of dealing. But, I mean, they had a lot of junk going on, too. So, I mean, they just had another receiver get Papa DUI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had the foolishness with Henry Ruggs at the beginning of the season, killing that person on the with the DUI. So, I mean, that team's just a hot mess. And the fact that they are where they are is because the Colts couldn't pull the game against the Jaguars.
Yeah.
You know, like we talked about it.
They were one win away. And
yeah, the way the dominoes fell this year right at the end in the AFC was just perfect for, you know, that scenario that everybody wanted with the tie.
Oh, and I got to bring this up only because all you had to do was tie Brandon Staley in.
Yeah, that was a pretty foolish move on his part to call that timeout, and that's probably
why
it didn't end in a tie. Because, I mean, the Raiders were not in any rush to get up there. They weren't in a rush to make another
Rex
play.
When Rex Ryan destroys you for making a bad coaching decision, right? You know you screwed up.
Yeah, it was not a smart move. Should have just let it play out and see what happened. I mean, even if he doesn't call the timeout and they still put the kicking team on there, you know, I mean, at least you let them make that decision instead of forcing their hand on.
And I think that team has enough close losses to where you have to start. He's on the hot seat next year.
I don't think he starts there, but if they keep dropping close games.
If they have
the same kind of season this year, because, I mean, he's a first-year coach, too. So, but, I mean, if they had that same kind of season this year, you know, coming up, then, yes, he'll probably.
Yeah, but you got a decent defense. You got a franchise quarterback. You've got one of the most consistent receivers in the NFL. And Keenan Allen, and one of the best running backs in the league. Hell, you got more than one good running back on the roster, and you got multiple receivers that are showing up this year too. And they were just tired. They were tired Sunday night. They ran almost 90 offensive plays.
But that's why you don't call the timeout. You know, you just let the clock run out, and you both go to the playoff. You take a break, and you get back at it the next week.
Yeah,
but I mean.
Coaches have been fired
about this over and over tonight.
But we could keep going over this, but you're right. I mean, unless you got anything else, that's a nice OT this week.
Yeah, I don't have anything. I mean, we'll talk about this again later on in the middle of the summer.
To Georgia for winning the national title in spectacular fashion. Jesus. Like, that was a boring game for the first three quarters, and the last quarter was just everybody started showing up. The defenses cracked a little bit, and some big plays were made. So credit to that. And look, this is another guy who does Kirby Smart end up in the NFL next year, or does he stick at Georgia and cash in?
Well, I mean, with the naming rights and all that stuff like that, I think you play another year if you can, and you make that money.
Yeah.
So, but all right, guys, that's all we got tonight. You know, we'll come back at you again on, probably Monday after the Monday night game. You know, let you know what happened in that week and see how our predictions came out and, go from there. That's all we got.
Yep. All right, everybody. Good night.
All right. Deuces.